Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, February 6th, 2015. And with me today, I have the always eloquent Brian Chaffin.
You can actually call me Miss Jackson if you're nasty.
That's what I hear. Word on the street. Yeah. And also the always amazing Kelly Gamond. How are you, Kelly?
I'm good. How are you, Jeff?
I am doing all right.
And you, Ms. Jackson?
I'm doing very well, actually. Thank you.
Awesome. That's as it should be. And here we are. We've made it to yet another Friday.
And I know. This week has flown by.
It really has.
It has flown by. I'm sure in part because we've all been sleeping well, which, by the way, reminds me we have a sponsor this week, Casper Mattresses. And I'll be talking about them soon, very soon. But before we hop into that, I wanted to take a look at a piece that you wrote yesterday, Kelly, about the new beta that's been seeded to developers for the Photos app, which is going to be the replacement for iPhoto in OS X Yosemite.
Well, it's sort of the replacement for two applications because I think Apple has a problem with people being able to do a web search when they have a problem with an application, and being able to search on iPhoto was too easy. So there's now an app called Photos. They've already come out and announced that they've ceased development on Aperture as well. So if you got some pictures and you got a Mac, this is basically your only option from Apple. So,
which, it's not as if Apple owes us a photo management app. It's just that Apple has offered
spent
us
7 years selling us cameras?
Yeah. Yes, and giving us both a professional and a consumer photos management app. So anyway, just context there.
Right. And I just like the other day when I was talking about Outlook, the big problem here is sort of awareness, making sure that people know that this is what's happening, primarily because I think even today you can still add Aperture to your purchase if you go and try to get a build-to-order Mac off the Apple website.
Yeah, you can buy it from the Mac App Store, and it will still work.
Right. It's well, in Yosemite.
It's important to remember.
Yeah.
Yes.
In Yosemite. Beyond that, nobody knows. Anyway.
It'll probably work.
One would hope. But yeah, the deal with it right now is that there's this new Photos app, and so far, people who use iPhoto seem to be less unhappy. It tends to be faster for a lot of folks than what things were in their iPhoto library. And all of the basic edit features are still there. You can still adjust some contrast. It's a lot like when you click an edit button on a photo in iOS. You have the same array of controls available to you. You have a little bit more room to use them, obviously. But for the most part, it's going to look a lot the same. And then I would also like to point out that this article that I wrote has the finest image I have ever seen accompany an article. And it is because there is a faces view that you can use in the Photos app. And in order to genericize it so that we could put up a view of this, our own Jeff Gamet, lovely host of the show, went through and painstakingly replaced each of the faces with a Lego minifig face.
Yes.
It is an amazing piece of work.
Thank you. It was actually fun to do. And if you look close, you'll see that there are no two Lego faces that are the same.
It's great. So overall, if you are a person who uses Aperture, but you're using it as a management piece, if you want custom metadata fields, if you're using custom metadata fields as part of your workflow, that stuff would be lost if you were to move to the beta. There, again, this is a beta. This is the first beta that has left Apple HQ. So it's entirely possible that more features are coming. And what they wanted to do was start off with something that was at least minimally functional to get the feedback on that before they start adding features. Because it seems like this is a ground up rewrite of managing photos on macOS. So
that's my impression. Yeah.
Yeah.
Apple is starting over
Well, just like Apple did with iMovie and Final Cut Pro.
Sure.
Right.
And Apple is leaving users initially in the lurch in the same way that it did with iMovie and Final Cut Pro. But, you know, both of which, Final Cut Pro 10 or X, depending on how you want to look at it. And the initial iMovie, I forget which version of iMovie that was, but that initial iMovie rewrite had these amazing new interface ideas that were pretty well received, but they were missing a lot of features that people actually needed. And Apple, generally speaking, doesn't care. They're going to move on to the better way of doing something, or something that they perceive as being the better way, and they'll add in features as they can.
And that does happen. They have gone back and added features. So just because, for example, custom metadata fields or the brushes from Aperture haven't made it into Photos doesn't mean they never will. It doesn't mean they won't, but it doesn't mean they will. So we're still kind of in a place where nobody really knows. I think it was with iMovie, and I may be misremembering this, but there was one of them where a support document was posted on the Apple website that said, basically, we know, and here's what's coming back.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe they did that with Final Cut Pro, and yeah, maybe with iMovie also. Now, I think Apple's biggest mistake with the iMovie rewrite was that they didn't rename the application.
Right.
I think that they would have been able to better set expectations by calling it like Apple Movie or Apple Film or something like that.
Yeah.
And I think they learned that lesson. And so this time, instead of saying it's just the new version of iPhoto,
right,
they said, well, we're getting rid of iPhoto and replacing it with a new app called Photos.
Mm-hmm. Now, a couple of other things to note about this. Like I said, people who use it so far have enjoyed it. It's faster. One of the additional features that this new Photos app will have is something called iCloud Photo Library, which, if you want it, will allow you to have a photo library that lives in the cloud. If you're willing to pay for that space, it is not free the way PhotoStream is free, and it will count against your limits and all of that. So if you do want to have those photos available to you in whatever form that is that PhotoStream isn't working, if you maybe don't have very many photos and you just want to go ahead and up them all to the cloud, you can do that. Please remember that Apple is not known for their cloud services, so make sure you have a copy before you upload the only one off into the cloud, because you never know when the cloud is going to just eat it, and it will be a bummer.
Now, if you're a developer, you already know that. If you're a regular user, you can't get at Photos yet anyhow, so this isn't an issue for you today. But I think that's good advice for when Photos is publicly available. Well, and just in general, it doesn't matter what app you're using. If you have data that's important to you, make sure you have a backup.
Exactly. And that's the thing, is it's a checkbox right now to go, oh yeah, just put it in the cloud.
And we're keeping an eye on this in part because we don't want there to be surprises when this is released. We're not looking at what Apple's doing and saying, trying to judge the finished product by what's available as a developer preview today. That's not the issue. The issue is keeping an eye and understanding what's coming down the pike there. So that we can be adequately prepared, because there will be changes. There will be changes from iPhoto. There will certainly be changes from Aperture. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to know ahead of time what's coming.
Yep, absolutely. So we're going to keep a very close eye on this, and we'll keep you up to date so you guys know what to expect. And anyone that's passing judgment just across the board on Photos today is probably being unfair to Apple, because this is just the very first preview that's been seeded out to developers only. So this is not something for the general public.
Listen, yet. I've got my judgment all warmed up. I agree with you. It's we need to wait and see more what's coming, but I think we have a good idea of some of the things that aren't coming. So my judgment's all warmed up.
And you know what? That's totally fine. You keep that judgment warmed up and keep your foot right next to the gas pedal so that as soon as it's totally appropriate, you can punch it. Yeah. And we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is Casper Mattresses. And I'm pretty excited they've been our sponsor this week because they have actually helped me sleep better. And that's saying quite a bit because it's no secret that I've been dealing with sleep issues for many years. Their mattresses are wonderfully comfortable and also wonderfully priced. The mattress that I have, their queen size model, $850, but you can get it for $800 because Casper loves all of our listeners and they have a special discount code just for us. So if you go to casper.com/TDO, you'll get your $50 discount on whatever mattress you want. Part of what makes their mattresses so great is that they spent a lot of time figuring out how to put them together, how to design them. And they're using two different types of foam that together give you great support, but also enough flexibility and bounce so that it doesn't feel like you're sleeping on a board. And it turned out for me that was exactly the right mix, and it's made such a huge difference. So, go check out their mattresses. Go pick out yours and get yourself a $50 discount and start sleeping better right away because everyone deserves a good night's sleep.
Word.
Word. And then now the other topic that I wanted to take a look at today is this news that's cropped up that some colleges are using the Apple Watch as a catalyst to decide to ban smartwatches in their exam rooms. And by exam rooms, I mean where you take classes and not where you get medical exams. I just realized how that sounded, and I figured clarification was totally in order.
Probably.
Yeah.
Now, this is like being progressively reactionary.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. And I kind of get why they would be worried now, and it's because so far, pretty much every smartwatch that's out there looks like a smartwatch. So they know when someone walks into a classroom or a test exam room and they're wearing a smartwatch. But with the Apple Watch, that changes because the Apple Watch has a much more fashionable look. It looks more like jewelry and as such is harder to distinguish from just a regular old watch.
I don't know. I think a lot of even the Android devices. I mean, the watches come in a lot of different form factors. So, sure. You know, telling one from the other is already an issue even with the products that are out there. And I also understand it would be trivial for someone to put information, some kind of information. I mean, it would not be trivial for someone to put like a calculator app and then actually be doing calculations on the wrist because, you know, you're going to see that. But having some kind of information, some kind of answers that you can, you know, that'll scroll by and, you know, it'd be so much easier to look at this stuff on your wrist than it would be on a computer, a tablet, or a smartphone. So I kind of get where they're coming from.
I get where they're coming from, and I'm not bagging on them for making this decision, but I do find it fascinating that the catalyst is the Apple Watch, which hasn't shipped yet. And a lot of the schools are saying, yeah, Apple Watch is coming. That's going to make all these smartwatches a lot more popular. And we need to deal with this now before that happens.
Yeah.
That's exactly what the issue is that right now there's probably nowhere near an appreciable number of people taking tests who are also wearing a smartwatch. And they're probably having to pull the trigger on this now because the Apple Watch will likely change that. And this is going to be, it's sort of funny to me that it's come to this because the reason they're doing it is because now that Apple's doing it, it's going to be really popular and really prevalent. And it's going to be something where there would be interest in somebody writing an app that would scroll the answers by on your wrist. And you know, that used to be the reason that an Apple user would be safe from viruses and stuff. Like, there weren't enough Macs, or there weren't enough Macs for people to want to write a virus for it. People who are going to do something and use their powers for not good are going to do it for the largest number. And so clearly they're already presuming the Apple Watch will be successful and it will be developed in big enough numbers that somebody would go, you know, I could make some money if I started selling people answers to tests that they could get on their arm and do it that way. So I think it's an interesting comment on Apple as well. This hasn't even shipped yet, and they're already having to prep for the fact that somebody is going to try to do this because it wasn't worth bothering with until Apple got into the game.
Yep.
Yeah, usually you expect educational institutions to be just plain reactionary, not progressively reactionary.
Yeah.
Yep, and here we are. Now, I was thinking about since smartphones are already banned from the exam rooms, and smartwatches tend to be accessories for our smartphones, mm-hmm. What difference would it really make? And if you let someone wear a smartwatch into one of these rooms, and there's actually a few things. First, you can load data onto the watch that you would then be able to access independently of your smartphone.
Mm-hmm.
But then the other thing is, the way the devices are banned from being used in exam rooms is that when you sit down at your desk to take your test, there's a drawer that's underneath the chair that you're in, and your phone goes into there. So it's still close enough that it would have a wireless link to your watch. So if you have your watch set to show you your text messages, someone could very easily just sit there and text your phone, and mm-hmm. every one of those messages is going to show up on your watch.
Right.
It's true. You get a little tap too. You don't even have a ding or a vibration that someone else might notice.
Yeah, that's right.
That you and only you know is there.
Yep.
Yeah, and it's
which is one of the things I love about Apple Watch, by the way.
Yeah, that's actually really cool, and I loved that our own Dave Hamilton was able to be at the launch or the introduction event, so he could try an Apple Watch on his wrist. And tell us what the tap is like, because otherwise it's like, well, no, I'm just visualing a vibrate thing. But Dave's like, no, it actually feels like someone tapped your wrist. And at first it's disconcerting because it feels like someone just tapped your wrist. But once you get used to what that is, then it's a very cool and very subtle way to get notifications. So I'm actually really looking forward to trying out Apple Watch. I'm betting there's a lot of people that right now are really disappointed because they were working on their schemes to be able to pass all their tests with their Apple Watch. Now that's not going to happen.
Yep.
Yeah. We're almost out of time. So I guess we're going to have to wrap up again. Brian, thank you so much for being here today.
You apparently are not nasty, but I will... you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
No, I am not nasty. I am a proper gentleman.
Yes. It is known.
That's what they say. And Kelly, thank you so much for being here with me today, too.
Of course. Always a pleasure.
And you're not nasty either. Just Brian.
Okay.
And thank you to all of our listeners for joining us for yet another week. And a special thank you to Casper for being our sponsor this week. Head on over to Casper.com and check out their mattresses. Pick one out for yourself and sleep better right away because, wow, they're fantastic mattresses. That's Casper.com/TDO. Get yourself a $50 discount. We will see everyone again next week.